Hello and welcome to NDA and Hivestack present Out of Home Strategies in an Omnichannel Environment. My name is Justin Pearce and I'm the editor. Today I'm joined by two real experts in the space, Will Brownson, who's MD EMEA at Hivestack, and Joel Lisley, who is Lead Senior Director Inventory Partnerships at the Trade Desk. So hi both, thanks for joining us.
Morning.
So let's kick off and dig into this subject. So the first question to you both really is, how can brands make the best use of digital out of home in omnichannel strategy? Who wants to kick off with that?
Shall I jump in?
Yeah.
So obviously the Trade Desk being a DSP, we handle omnichannel buying. And I think out of home was in many ways the last piece of that omnichannel puzzle. It's probably the medium that held out from becoming programmatic the longest, but it is also very, very different to the other channels that we look after. It's a true kind of mass reach medium, and it is consistently high quality, brand safe, and has huge reach. So it's kind of a no-brainer for most marketers. We've seen that within out of home, which is set to roughly be at the same levels year on year for spend, all the growth is going to come from digital out of home. So it is a huge channel, and all of our buyers are looking to get involved in out of home in one way or another. After a tough few years for COVID and no one being out of home, we saw last year see a huge step change, and this year is going to be even more growth in out of home.
You mentioned it held off for so long. What was behind that reticence, do you think?
I'm not sure it was reticence on the buy or sell side. It's just that, you know, the three of us went out and bought mobile phones, we bought laptops, we bought TVs. Unless you're a bit odd, you didn't go out and buy a billboard.
True.
So the media owner had to upgrade everything. The media owner had to spend millions and millions of pounds or euros or dollars to upgrade the placements. And then the programmatic world had a lot to learn and the out-of-home world had a lot to learn about each other to get us to the stage we're at now.
What have you seen? The same question, you know, what is driving this and what are the particular advantages that it offers?
Yeah, I think Joel mentioned something really interesting. Actually, the most interesting part about this is actually the scale. So as rightly mentioned, we delayed in sort of adding to the digital out-of-home infrastructure. So we're going through a massive shift and it's taken a good number of years because there's a lot of risk involved with them. So a lot of investment that you have to see from digital out-of-home. So specifically in the UK, but we see this globally, there's been a number of panels that have been pulled out from the ground because they're not performing well in terms of audience delivery. And our measurement of that is improving greatly over time. But also the highest performing sites in terms of audience delivery are also being converted to digital out-of-home screens. And that investment is huge. And again, there's a lot of risk to having these digital infrastructure in place, but also quality of the screens. So the quality of screens is going up. It's taken us a while to understand what digital out of home has to offer versus a static approach, how it actually the blend between static and digital works before you even get to the idea of how do we actually deliver it through programmatic channels. So it's just taken us a long time to get there because it's a physical thing. It's not something that's a digital thing that can be switched on and off. You actually have to physically put them in the ground. And before we actually got to this stage, we didn't have any scale. So you're really looking at a few hundred screens that have now transitioned over the past few years to tens of thousands of screens. And we're able to target not just those key cities, but actually the conurbations that surround it. And now you've got real scale. And so that sort of level of connectivity is improved, the quality of screens is improved, and the scale in which we can activate is improved. And now the exciting part happens because the data that we can access through digital has now become, you know, it's allowed us to learn a lot more about what's happening around those screens. And that's been the kind of big shift that we've seen.
I think it's interesting the fact you talk about the quality of screens has improved. And quality of screens isn't something that's often discussed in this frame, really. So how important is that shift and what is it enabling?
Well, I think a lot of it, when you think about the level of engagement, so when you put it into the omnichannel sphere, we're competing between channels. So you think about the level of engagement that you have with, say, for example, TV. You know, you're in your house and the level of engagement you have is huge. And so we're constantly trying to compete with that level of engagement. So the quality of screens is hugely important, and the creative that's been transitioned to those, like, you know, a really good example of this is Piccadilly Lights. So I passed by there this morning, and you look at that screen and the level of engagement that it has with the audience because of the quality, because of the scale, because of how much it sort of is prominent in this sort of public space. that really is a massive change in how out of home is perceived within the kind of digital space. And I think that it's really important. I think creative that's been pushed to those screens as well is massive. So the quality of colours has a huge effect on how visible those screens can be. How connective they are is massively important, especially for the programmatic space as well.
Yeah, and I noticed that on my journey here. I think it's probably because I was coming to record this, but I got the Lizzie line from Farringdon to where we are now.
Great line.
And the quality of screens going up and going up the escalators on the platforms is amazing. And the ads I still remember now were for Naked, those, the sort of fruit bars. And the colours really, really popped out at you. And all of those screens can be now bought programmatically. And it's really important for advertisers that they can have that impact, that the ad can kind of travel alongside the user up the escalator. It can travel to where they're going on the platform. But then also they don't just want to be there. They can then show those ads on the Piccadilly lights. They can, show the ad throughout the user's physical journey, through a city, through a town, through the countryside, wherever it might be. And that's crucial for buyers. They want the scale. They don't just want those few hundred placements that Will mentioned were available early on. They want to be able to show the user who they know is starting their journey in Sevenoaks an ad there. They can then know from serving mobile ads or audio ads, whether they're engaged or not, and then show an ad at their destination as well. And you can track along that whole journey. You can measure the success. The user might be shown an out-of-home ad, but might make a transaction on their phone, on their laptop later on. And the ability to track and measure and show relevant ads to users is absolutely huge for the buyers.
No, I agree. I think those screens in the Piccadilly, they're amazing demonstrations of what out of home is now, and different from even a few years ago. So you're talking now about the omnichannel journey, the customer journey, and different ways that out of home can be wound into campaigns. So what for you is the most exciting thing about the data that's now available via programmatic out of home to sort of help supercharge an omnichannel strategy?
So I think there's two sides to it for out of home, particularly, maybe more than any other channel. In most channels, first and third party data about user behaviors, user interests are really important. And all of that can be leveraged really well for out of home. But for me, the most exciting thing is using triggers and using that to scale up or scale down spend, to tailor the ads to what's happening in that moment. We ran a campaign for Free Now, which ran on the Underground. Free Now is a taxi service. When there were delays on the Underground, the ads started spending. They started showing ads to users saying, hey, your tube's delayed, get a taxi. You could argue they maybe don't need to do much targeting there quite often, but it's a really good use of that ability to use contextual triggers and not just the user data to serve the relevant ads. And you can take that to a whole another level. We've done it, I think, with Will years ago in a previous life. We did a campaign for a hay fever medication where the ads were triggered by pollen count. And again, you can do that sort of thing to change the ads. We've done it for shampoo where the colours and the text has changed based on the weather outside. And even our test campaign 4 years ago during the Women's World Cup, we changed the creatives based on what was happening in the World Cup at that point. And so there's a huge amount that you can do to really jump out at the users and make sure that the ads fit the physical context and what's happening in the world around them. It's really exciting.
Beep. John mentions mobile. Well, obviously, mobile is something we're used to talking about in the context of out of home and to make it interactive. But what other analogies can you draw from things like the growth in audio and growth of CTV? How similar are these environments, and also how powerful are the interactions between the two?
Yeah, I think this is where it gets really exciting for me because, a lot of the kind of ice previous to this role that I'm in now from a technology side was in out of home specialism. And actually, a lot of it when I was working in full comms planning was a lot of the great insights come from the digital space. And we try and apply those to other channels as well. So what you're seeing now is an incredible shift in the amount of data that we have access to. And if you think about each individual screen on the street as being almost like a data marker for various different things, we understand around those screens so much more than we've ever done before. Think about what the temperature is around that screen, what the pollen count might be, air pollution, the traffic speed around that individual site. And we can use these to actually adopt new strategies and build it into what I like to think is being a longer term strategy for out of home within an omni-channel space. Because what we tend to do in out of home is book 2 weeks. We book 2 weeks, we book 4 weeks. And I don't know where that's come from. It might work well. I don't know. We hope it works well over the past few years. But we want these sort of screen solutions, which is now we're getting to this point where it's a screen agnostic solution across all channels. is a long-term strategy where out-of-home is included. So we're triggering when certain events happen. We have an always-on strategy that is shifting based on the environment and the context in which that screen is in. And you mentioned about other channels like audio. There's a really, really good example of this. So, you know, we had a large shoe manufacturer. I always have to say this, don't we? We have to de-brand everything. But a large shoe manufacturer looking to see whether we could target regular runners or joggers in London. Now, as an out-of-home brief, that's very tough to execute against. But if you access the digital, for example, audio data, we can start to look at where are people accessing running playlists, for example, or jogging playlists. And we can use that as a location benchmark to also deliver out-of-home. And then you think about how it complements out-of-home. Because obviously the audio element, you can imagine someone jogging, they've got the headphones on, there's an audio element to it. And obviously you can add now a visual element to this that complements what's happening from the audio space. That's something that we have never done before and can't do in a very sophisticated way until now. And so that's a massive shift. So linking audio with a visual complement is incredibly powerful, not something that we've ever looked at. Even in the mobile space as well, I'd suggest that we've sort of touched on it in out of home. We've experimented with it, but we've never really looked on a long-term basis the effect that mobile has on out of home and vice versa and how that fits within a wider strategy. It tends to be experimental from, again, a short burst perspective. We want to look at long-term changes, and this shift is allowing us to do that.
Joel, long-term changes, long-term strategy, and going to Will's point that out of home was seen as a very short-term medium. Yep. Do you see the same sort of thing with clients? They're looking at out of home in a different way nowadays.
They're starting to change, you know, that sort of mentality of the 2 to 4 week booking is largely gone in our experience. Yeah. And that we have a very specific experience as a programmatic platform, obviously. So I'm sure it does still exist in a major way. But a lot of buyers now are thinking about how they can plan over that long term, how they can have a longer term, perhaps commitment to spend, but they don't have to spend consistently over that period. They can scale up and down based on, you know, the external triggers that we mentioned earlier, and they can tweak their campaign as they go. Particularly in the days of paper and paste, you just whacked a poster up on the wall and it sat there for however long. Now you can find when your users are there. If the train is delayed, then your audience arrives 10 minutes later. So your ad can run 10 minutes later and you don't have as much wastage built into your campaign as a buyer. And then for the sellers, they can also think longer term as well by spreading those commitments over a longer period, selling the right impressions to those buyers. And then the wrong impressions for those buyers will be right for someone else. So we can start seeing newer advertisers, newer agencies even joining the market and starting to get involved. And perhaps we don't need the major commitments that we've historically had in out of home. You can still have some major commitments, but you can also fill those gaps and sort of complete that jigsaw puzzle with smaller advertisers. I don't mean tiny local ones, but newer incumbents to out of home. It doesn't all have to be, you know, there's traditional soft food brands and CPG brands. It's still obviously important for them. But like I saw the ads for Naked earlier, I'm sure they weren't a big spender in out of home and wouldn't be without programmatic and the ability to buy in real time and find the exact point to run their ads.
So changing medium, new advertisers, your approach generally to it as a branding and often response medium. But also at the same time, we've got big macro changes going on. You know, the cookies going away, always brought up in these conversations, and also the rise of context. Contextual's back in fashion study, which is often quite amusing, but how important are these big macro changes to the changing view of out of home from buyers, do you think?
Well, I think it's just going back to a more simple approach as well. So I think, you know, often the best things are the most simple approach. Out of home historically has always worked off context. What programmatic has actually allowed us to do is expand our kind of horizons when it comes to context. You look at the number of screens now that we have access to in, you know, gyms, shopping malls, underground stations, even toilets now. You can even access sort of hairdryer screens, you know, around the world. So lifts as well. So there's a huge amount of sort of increase in, I guess, those moments and the context in which those screens are hugely important. And as I said, as our understanding of what happens within those locations increases, context becomes ever ever more kind of interesting. And I think that's where we probably see a lot of the online space. I know Joel will be better placed to answer this, but I think you'll see a lot of that kind of the online planning sort of mirroring or aligning with out of home a lot closer. And again, that's what we want. We want to bring all these channels closer together. And historically, that hasn't happened in agencies. Like, as I mentioned, my background's been in agencies. We tend to cross channel brief, but then we go back to our desks and it tended to be a very much kind of isolated out of home planning. And we want to align these channels ever closer and to get a better understanding of the optimal blend. And I think context is going to be really important in that.
What's your view on that? I mean, I like the idea. Well, I don't like the idea, but, you know, brief cross channel, then back to silo panelling when it comes to out of home. How are you seeing this changing?
So I think that evolution of identity, I wouldn't say third party cookies going away isn't necessarily a problem. It just means that identity has to evolve. So it will be a merging of how out of home was siloed based on context, but identity will come to out of home as well. But context will go to where identity ruled for many years. So universal IDs are coming in. Trade Desk has rolled out EUID and UID2, and there's ID5, LiveRamp, and a plethora of other options out there. And that means that we will still have a huge number of identifiable users. And actually, that's really good for out of home, because those users, previously you had to connect a cookie to a device ID on a mobile, to a device ID on a TV, and it was good but probabilistic. Now we'll have a deterministic solution where a user will have the same ID on all their devices, which benefits out of home, because then you'll know when those users, what their interests are, when they're near the billboard that you're looking to run ads on and so on. And you can use that for serving relevant ads to the users. You can also, as a marketer, measure the success of your campaigns much better than you could before. But there will also be users who rightly opt out and choose not to be identified. And for that, we'll bring the best practice from context in out of home into other channels as well. And I think that means that buyers with a 100% programmatic background like myself will have to learn new skills and learn how to buy based on context, how to extrapolate and use econometric modeling to measure their success. And as Will said, kind of keep it simple to some degree, but also know that they can still measure, they can still serve relevant ads to users, and you kind of get the best of both worlds.
So another big industry trend, you can't move from the industry press or conference stages, is attention, the attention economy. So again, through the eyes of a buyer, how important do you think digital out of home, programmatic digital out of home, is in the attention economy?
It's absolutely huge, like the placements are. I mean, it's the most impactful medium in a lot of ways. We've all seen those sort of TikTok videos or whatever else it might be of the huge placements in like Beijing, where it's like a 3D billboard where it looks like a trainer is coming at you or whatever it may be. And that is amazing. That's really exciting. The kind of anamorphic video creatives that I've spent quite a lot of time talking to Will about are really, really exciting for a lot of brands. And that's great. But it's not everything. There's a lot more that you can do at a smaller scale that doesn't necessitate millions of pounds in production and buying the placements. Doing dynamic creative, making those creatives more impactful for the user, more relevant to them, what's going on, where they are, and based on who they are as well, is probably more the future of most of out-of-home buying or most programmatic out-of-home buying. It's getting attention in a more subtle way, and maybe they won't even know that you were getting their attention. You know, that huge 3D billboard, you kind of have to stand there and look at it because it is so impactful, but maybe a more subtle tailoring of the creatives to what's going on based on what's happening in the tube, what's happening in the weather outside, and all those other examples we've given. That's much, much better for the majority of brands, and to be honest, for the majority of users, because not everyone is walking past Piccadilly Circus, Times Square, or whatever it may be. It's walking through your local train station, driving along the North or South Circular, or, you know, going to a service station. You don't need a 3D creative there, but a creative that's relevant to where you are, what your day's like, and so on is really, really impactful for the average user and for most brands.
Okay, so yeah, Diamond Creative, DCO, let's talk a bit about that. What are you seeing in terms of the, again, going back to the buyer, what are the opportunities out there now for DCO and out of home?
Yeah, I think for me, what's great to see is that out of home's investing in technology to answer some of these questions. You mentioned the attention economy. We talk about anamorphic creative. What is great, and also the mention sort of access for smaller brands. You know, this is brands that typically have struggled to get into the out-of-home space due to the cost, but now can. But I think what's really interesting about DCO, and mixed with the kind of, you know, the new ways in which you can creatively deliver through programmatic channels, is you can now mix strategies up. So you can do your big brand strategy, which can be your anamorphic creative. It could be just your standard direct brand. But you can also mix it in with, you know, more performance driven, and also allowing yourself to creatively deliver how you would do in the online space to the offline space, effectively. And DCO is a really important part of this. Now, DCO is something that we've actually invested a lot of time in the out-of-home world previous to programmatic being there. But actually now, again, this is where I think we've seen a massive sort of step change. And you think about some really interesting ways in which we can almost combine all these things together, like context and DCO, to be incredibly effective in how we engage with customers. So one really good example, I keep seeing it all the time, that, you know, I take sports, I'm a sports lover. And you look at sometimes there's a penalty being taken, and it's a news recap of someone sort of, there's a penalty being taken, two countries, everyone's in the bars watching, waiting for that penalty to be taken. And then all of a sudden, it's probably England, they've missed the penalty most likely. And there's the English fans, the heads in hands and cups being thrown. And then obviously, you know, whatever other country they're playing against, there's cheers, there's hugging. And all of a sudden, we now understand that that kind of behavior in that location in real time, and we can react to it in real time. And so that message can not only be about the score that's just happened, but also the messaging and the actual creative delivery can be tailored to what people are feeling in location. And that's incredibly powerful. So it's not just here's what's happening externally. We get to understand how people are feeling in context. And that's what the power that DCO has for out of home, in my opinion. It's sort of that added layer, that added sort of excitement that you can bring to the table.
Yeah, real time is something you definitely would have thought about when considering out of home in the past.
Yeah.
So, what are the challenges? Joel, what are the challenges to DCO real-time, all these amazing things that change the medium? What do we have to get over?
I think the challenge is connected to something you asked about earlier, which is what can we learn from CTV and audio? And one of the big challenges is that those channels, and any channel that existed before the internet, is often siloed within the buyers' and the sellers' businesses. And they will maybe think that they don't have the creatives to do DCO, they don't have the right assets to do DCO, because the out-of-home team is maybe leading the way. But actually, by cooperating and communicating with the programmatic team, they can learn that DCO is actually often quite easy. You just need, you know, five different colour schemes, five different messaging, five different images, and you've suddenly got, I can't even do that maths, but, you know, 100 or 125 different options of the ads you can run. And that is the big challenge, but it will be solved, and it is already being solved in many cases by a traditional out-of-home team working closely with their programmatic counterparts within the agency. But beyond that, there's not really huge challenges. Maybe some creative standardization, but I don't think that's a massive issue. Most people can tailor ads, or smarter people than me, can tailor ads to fit different formats and different sizes. And I think beyond that, it's just we have to go through that period of people working in silos to cooperating, and then we're largely going to be there, I think.
DCO is quite easy is my favourite quote of the ESF, I think.
Yeah, please don't quote me on that.
to that point, though, it's I think there's some interesting nuances to the out-of-home space because it's public. And so you've got to think about, and standardization is really important, but it's also, there's an element of risk involved when it's such a public display of creative around things that we worry about in the out-of-home space. You know, is there any kind of worry about the copy not presenting itself correctly, having to sign off on every iteration of that particular creative in its location? And actually, that control has to go to a certain element in which historically has gone to the media owners. They're very much in control of what is able to be displayed at any given point on their screens, and largely because there's risk to them as well. So this is where I think that, you know, this sort of element of standardization is going to really, really help us moving forwards.
You mentioned the media owners. Let's talk a bit about them. So what do you think is the biggest opportunity, I guess, that programmatic out-of-home offers to the supply side?
I think it's the finite inventory is a huge opportunity. We've always talked as a DSP particularly about the ability to serve the right ad to the right user in the right place at the right time. That's absolutely true for out of home. But whereas most of the rest of the connected world has almost infinite impressions available, you can still find that user somewhere else. You can't really do that in out of home as easily. There are a limited number of billboards available, and that means for the media owner, they can use the auction in exactly the right way possible, which is to serve those correct ads to the right advertiser. And I think I mentioned earlier, to then serve the ads that weren't right for those advertisers to other advertisers, and ultimately the user wins, because the user is always seeing relevant ads. They're always seeing ads that suit their interests or where they're from or what's going on around them. And so the media owner can therefore limit the wastage that they have to kind of build into what they're selling. And it can, out of home can kind of coexist with other channels in a way that it probably never could before, because you've had a lot of newer advertisers really embrace channels like podcasting or other audio channels or CTV, but they haven't been able to embrace out of home yet, and now they can as well. So it's a win-win for buyers and for sellers as well.
Now, I used to play a game in my head. I grew up in London, going up the tubes, looking at the posters going relevant, not relevant, not relevant. And that game's gone dead now, really, because I find something relevant on the way to work, I'll always find something relevant. Yeah. So it's just a much more powerful medium than it ever was. And yeah, back to media owners. Well, what would you like to see from the media owners? How, you know, what do you think is the biggest opportunity for them?
For me, it's I guess, first embracing the space. So I think many media owners on a global level now have recognised that this is an opportunity. I actually think that, you know, the expertise is the hardest part that we face. And I think we probably faced this when CTV was emerging. Same sort of thing was happening, because you had a typical TV buyer and then you had an online buyer. And then what we're doing now is exactly going through this process with out of home. You're mixing together two levels of expertise, and out of home just happens to be incredibly nuanced. So my, you know, what I really love to see from media owners, and we do see a lot of, is hiring now of a genuine programmatic expert to lead this charge. And I think unless you have that champion, that expert that sits in-house that can really focus on this as your kind of developing area, because on top of all the kind of the great things that programmatic digital out of home can bring is also, you know, opening up to new buyers. So our biggest thing is we want to grow out of home. Everyone's committed to growing out of home, certainly from my side. And I would love to see new digital first or digital native buyers really thinking about out of home, but also on a global level. So having planned internationally before out of home, one of the really exciting parts is now you can log into a DSP like the Trade Desk, and you can see a global world of outdoor screens at your fingertips. And that's a really powerful proposition. And being able to buy those without having individual sort of media owner calls, and that sort of linking together of a buyer and a seller on a global level is really breaking down a huge amount of barriers. That's a massive opportunity. If you think about, you know, the regions like APAC buying into EMEA or EMEA out to the Americas, it's now broken down all those barriers that we had before. So there's a huge amount of opportunity there. We just need the expertise in place. You've got to commit to the space, and that's what I'd love to see.
So look, let's kind of draw to a close slowly, but let's talk about this year. I guess we can talk about 2024, but everything we've talked about today is just proof that this is one of the most exciting mediums around, and the opportunities is endless for buyers. But what's coming up? What are you most excited about in the year ahead, in the last 6 months of the year ahead? Joel, what, you know, what's really exciting you? And I guess, how important overall is programmatic digital out of home to Trade Desk?
I think it's hugely important for us. We've had so much demand from our clients over the last 4 years since we launched it. Obviously, there was a bit of that break over COVID, and last year was almost the reset year. So that was when a lot of our buyers were just testing the water again. And what really excites me about what we've already seen this year and we'll continue to see for the latter half is they've stopped going, oh, I want to buy on this media owner, and started doing what Will said, which is not looking owner by owner and placement by placement. They're plugging in, where is my audience? Where do I want to buy placements? And then going out and buying all the placements, regardless of which media owner it's on, because it might be that, you know, JCDecaux has strengths in one place, DAX has strengths in another, or Global has strengths in another, Clear Channel has strengths in another. But now they also have access to a plethora of other media owners out there, the likes of Alight and Zoom and ECN, where they can get all the right placements they want across the board and don't have to worry about who it's coming from. It's just buy what's right for them, and that gives the buyer a huge number of options. And we've really started to see that start this year. And I think it's only going to get better and better for the next few years. And that does benefit the media owners because they don't necessarily have to tie themselves into a commitment to a buyer. They can make sure that they're maximizing their yield as well by getting as many buyers in as possible.
Well, any last thoughts from you? You know, what are you most excited about in the year ahead and potentially in 2024 in the context of programmatic digital out of home?
Well, I guess growth is certainly exciting for us as a business, no doubt. It's great to see that we're seeing this upward trend very much like we saw from the growth of online. I mean, if we think about how much programmatic digital out of home represents within the digital out of home world, it's a very small piece of the pie, you know, let's say 5 to 6% at the moment. So the room for growth is really exciting for me. The new buyers entering the space, as I mentioned, again, is something new and exciting. We're building this kind of new planning expertise, which is that kind of merging together of those two specialisms, which I think excites me as well. And also, what I would really love to see is that kind of, as I mentioned sort of earlier, actually, is really that closer alignment with out of home now to the omni-channel delivery and seeing it as being sort of an always on element to it. And it really should be. And I'd love to see it being tested, in I guess, to a greater degree across the omni-channel spectrum. Because at the moment, we're still sort of we're just adding it to the kind of mix at the moment. I'd love to see some real sort of results appearing where we can look at the blend between various different channels and actually see some genuine results over time rather than it being more of a kind of a test campaign. I think we're past testing now. It's about sort of really implementing it in our long-term strategy.
Yeah, I think test and learn is absolutely key for the next year. Maybe I can change my answer or add to it. But yeah, test and learn is crucial. We've got so much data available for devices, for where audiences are, from other channels, from out of home itself. And users, or buyers rather, need to be really willing to test and learn, to accept that sometimes testing means failing, but failure is just the next step to success, isn't it? That sounds like a horrible self-motivation cliche.
It's lovely.
But it's, you know, it is. You learn by failing once or twice, and then you learn how to do it right as well. And you don't have to do a huge budget to do that now in out of home. You used to have to commit hundreds of thousands of pounds. Now you can have a small portion of your budget to test and do an omni-channel control test, run out of home on its own, run out of home with audio, run audio on its own, see what works best, use both absolute measurement and econometric modelling, and then you can see and evolve and iterate constantly on what works best for you and treat out of home exactly as they treat the other channels within programmatic.
Treat out of home exactly as you treat other channels within programmatic. I think it's a great line on which to end. So I want to say thank you so much for joining. That was a fascinating insight into the future of digital out of home. So thank you, Will from Hivesack and Joel from the Trade Desk. And I've been Justin Pearce, editor of NDA. Thank you so much for listening.